Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Being on stage feels like someone else, but also more yourself than you've ever felt.
This feels like getting to live in your imagination.
Seeing everyone again brought back so many memories.
Being able to be in this show will be one of the greatest treasures of my life.
Hello and welcome back to your favorite Patreon-only podcast. It's Patreon with Cheese, and as always, I am joined by the incredible, the wonderful, my favorite video editor in the entire world, Elizabeth Esten. Yeah.
Yes, I am back again.
Yes, you didn't disappear on us quite so quickly this time.
No, the mono hasn't killed me yet.
Yet.
We'll see. I keep drinking ice water to make sure it doesn't kill me.
Okay, good. We want to make sure to stay hydrated, drink a lot of water. And we're back at you with our encore recap. We're at episode 2, which is the Beauty and the Beast episode, with Adam Wachter and Brittany K. Taylor and a bunch of other people. And Susan Egan, who popped in for a bit.
Hell yeah, Meg's here.
Yes. What do you think of this episode?
I liked it. It was slightly less sentimental than the first one.
It was a little bit more regular, like, what you would expect from a reality show.
Yeah, like, there's actually, like, drama in it with the Beast and the chick who played the wardrobe, like, not talking anymore because of a bad breakup.
As you do.
Yeah, which is, like, the ultimate fear of that high school couple. It's like, you go to college and then you don't talk to each other and then...
Yeah, I will say, like, I'm still friends with all of my exes. In fact, two of my high school exes worked on my last film, so... Along with my current girlfriend. We're all buds.
We're all friends.
It's good to be friends with your exes. It will pay off in the long run because you'll lose out on a friend that knows a lot about you.
That's true. They do know a lot about you. Yeah. I didn't mind this episode at times. It was solid.
Adam Wachter, as always, is incredible in it.
Adam Wachter is so sassy.
He has brought up the sass factor 15% in this episode.
He really has. Because he's just like, the singing isn't great, and he never says it gets better.
He likes what he likes. I would not want to be instructed by Adam Wachter. Not because I don't think he'd do a good job, but just because I would be so afraid of disappointing him, and I know I would.
Disappointing him, making him happy would be, like, the greatest accomplishment, but, like, making him sad would break my heart. I'm just like, no, I didn't do it. And I cannot sing. So, I had an old roommate where I would, like, sometimes, like, sing as a joke. Just, like, there's a key. You have to find it. And I'm like, I'm not trying to find it. Let me have fun.
I agree. But, full disclosure, Brittany K. Taylor, who is basically framed as the main character of this episode, and villain, so to say.
She's a villain arc. It's so weird.
It is. She's a very sweet person in real life. I interviewed her on Musicals with Cheese 1,000 years ago. Very, very sweet person in real life. And she gave me some tidbits on how the show is created, where it seemed like they were trying to make a narrative out of every episode. And she's like, anything I could do to fit that narrative, I did. And just because I know that any screen time was better than none at all. So I leaned into it probably a bit more than I would in real life.
Yeah.
Which I was like, I can feel that. I can see why that would be attractive. But she also comes off as a person that's going to always shoot her shot.
Yeah, no, she seems like she's always going for it. And I honestly respect that. Like, the first thing we see her do is sing a terrible song about dairy. So.
She does that now. Like, and she even got Susan Egan in on her animated shows.
Hell yeah. Love that.
Shoot your shot.
Go for it.
Framed in this show as jealous that she didn't get the lead in her production and still a little salty that she's not given the lead in this new production where she's stuck as Mrs. Potts.
Yeah, and then Susan Egan's like, the Mrs. Potts is the best character, and I really like Mrs. Potts. I always like Mrs. Potts. So
it's Angela Lansbury.
It's Angela Lansbury. Like, you can't hate her. Also, she's just a mom. She wants to be the mom. It's like Sandy on the Great British Baking Show. Like, she's the mom of the clan. She's always there to help.
And just because you're not the lead, I have this very big opinion, and I believe this. The lead is never the most fun character in any story, most of the time. It's always, like, the second or tertiary that really can steal a show.
Oh, yeah. Like, with The Good Place, like, Eleanor Shellstrop is a great character.
Yes.
But Jason Mendoza has the best quotes of all time.
And you know who really is blew up from that show? Tahani.
Yeah, Tahani. She's amazing. Like, there's a video online that Vulture made while the show was airing. That's like every celebrity name drop Tahani has said on The Good Place, and it's like 5 minutes long, and it's honestly iconic.
Yes. And she's had her own career. I forget, Jamila Jamila.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you did. And she also runs an Instagram account about body positivity, which is very good. I follow
it. Someone that has suffered from like BD and continues to. It's great. I love it. I didn't have a shame spiral earlier this week. is very good information to be putting out there.
I've always been self-conscious about my body, so it's very good to like, okay, I look cool. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. And having a platform and using it for good is important, in my opinion.
Yeah. If you have a platform, you should do good things with it. You should preach. Yes. You should preach causes. And
you should have an opinion and not just stand off to the side and out of fear that you might get in trouble.
Yeah. Or accept other people's opinions as your opinion to go with the crowd.
Yeah. Yep, but, yep.
This is my opinion. It's not.
Have an opinion and stand by it, or else what's the point of having a platform in the first place?
Yeah. Like, right after, on my Facebook, right after Brett Kavanaugh got confirmed, I wrote like a 3-paragraph Facebook post about how angry I was.
I mean, look at Andrew. After his situation, he put that tweet out there. Immediately, anti-vaxxers started coming after him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I didn't know
his
that.
Replies.
I retweet. It's so I didn't. Up. I didn't look at the replies. I just retweeted it immediately because I'm like, yes to all of this. Get vaccinated.
Yeah, he's like, he like messaged me. Like, he's like, I'm gonna fucking lose him.
Oh no, Andrew.
Like, not in like the like I'm gonna have a mental breakdown, and he's like, I'm gonna fucking like strangle people through the computer, man.
Andrew, you're most definitely not listening to this, but like, I'm sending you all the support.
He's not.
I'm sending you all the support, man. You're definitely not listening to this.
He is definitely.
And I respect that.
Anytime I send him like even one of your videos, he's like, this is very good. I hate watching these because I'm also either worried that I was never funny to begin with, or I'll never be this funny again.
I can confirm Andrew is always funny because I put way too much of him in it almost every time. Yes. So
he is like the funniest human being. This show doesn't exist without him.
Andrew made the marrying the baby joke 15 times that Mamma Mia live stream. I only cut half of them. I should have cut like 3/4. I cut only half of them.
You have regrets. We all have regrets.
I might that video is probably a hair too long in retrospect, but you know, I don't care.
I think it's perfect length. I rewatched it recently
in the middle of editing just to remind myself to like how I edited from the past. I do that sometimes because I have self-confidence issues sometimes while I'm working. It's great. I love it. And I'm like, oh, I am good at this. Cool. I am kind of funny.
You are great at this.
I am kind of funny sometimes. Even when I put a PNG of Ben Shapiro in a video.
I feel like a PNG of Ben Shapiro at the right moment is literally funnier than anything in the world.
Good old Ben Shapiro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, this episode it was interesting. It felt way more scripted at times.
Yes.
It felt like there were scenes the producers wanted and they put them in. Like when the teacher was talking to the football player and the who plays the Beast and then the wardrobe, mm-hmm. Jacob plays the wardrobe in like those random spots just to talk about their like past relationship. It's like, okay, this feels scripted.
It didn't feel scripted. It definitely felt arranged. Yeah. Scripted isn't quite the right word.
Yeah.
It felt a little too neat.
It felt like the producers were like, go sit in the theater where no one's in it and talk about your ex-girlfriend, please.
Which is fine. TV needs to have conflict, and if you can see a conflict maybe string up, that's fine. But from what I get from Brittany, they did it a lot more than you'd expect. Yeah. And a lot of it is sneaky.
Yeah, and I'm sure your average viewer of this show will not notice these things.
Yeah.
Like, we are people that basically went to film school, so...
basically did go to film school.
You went to film school. I technically did, but I didn't study film. I studied, like, how to make commercials and stuff. But I was surrounded by like film school people, so like I learned all the principles and stuff, so I know how things are made, and I can overthink to high hell how anything is made. So like, I know RuPaul rigs Drag Race in every turn because he has to for entertainment purposes.
You need to have the people watching be entertained. Yeah. And there's like arcs that they try to really nail, like the Beast getting his lines wrong, and then
that was fine, I think, because there's the setup was organic for that.
Yeah,
it's like it happened in 2007, 2008.
Yeah, this wasn't as long ago as 1996.
Yeah, like, this was 10-year gap, so these people were like our age.
Yeah, so I kind of get why the relationship would still be, like, a little more fraught.
Yeah, like, in the first episode, there were exes, but they had both married and had kids at that point, so it was like...
Okay. And they were, like, cool with each other.
Yeah, they were friendly the whole time, so it was like, okay, they've had, like, 20 years of, like, working through it, so, and separation and moving on, and they only had 10 years.
Which, as we know now, isn't as long as it seems.
No.
Death is ringing at our door, Liz.
It really is. No, I graduate every year I graduate college, I have more of an existential crisis. So I'm like, oh my god, it's been 3 years.
It's been a lot of years, almost. Oh no, oh no.
Yeah, it's been 3 years since I graduated college.
Next year will be 10 years, or no, how many years this? 2 years from now will be my 10-year graduation from high school. I don't like that.
4 years from now will be my 10-year graduation from high school.
Oh, God. It's creeping up on us.
It really
is. Are you going to go to your 10-year reunion? Are you going to cry and meet with your exes and have a really weird one-on-one with them?
The only ex I ever had was the grade ahead of me, so no.
Okay.
But... no, I've talked to him, and I actually unfriended him on Facebook a few years ago as a cleanse of my friend list, so...
Oh, did he, like, become alt-right or something?
No, it was more like a moving on from my high school stuff, so...
That's fair.
I was cordial with him to the end, so we just don't talk anymore. But last time I checked, he had a girlfriend, so...
Good for him.
And we had been dating, they had been dating for the amount of time me and my significant other had been dating, so...
You found the ones you were meant to be with. Yes. Found the situation you were meant to be at.
And all I had to do was go on Tinder.
Yeah.
Tinder sucks, guys. Don't do it.
I won't, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope. Just knock on the desk.
I don't know. I've been in a relationship since right before I was able to do dating apps. So it was never a thing I've had in my life. So I was always like, I want to give it a try once. Just once.
Just see what it's like.
So my girlfriend's sister does it quite often. So I'll just take her phone and then just do the Tinder thing for a few hours.
Just swipe, see how it feels.
Yeah, see how it feels. And then like message a couple of them.
I mean, you're just being a wingman. It's nice.
Yeah, it was fun, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No, especially when you're a
woman. But I was being a very attractive woman at the time and not being who I am.
I have horror stories of the things I've been messaged on Tinder. It's amazing.
What's your worst? What's the worst thing?
I have a screenshot of it. It's an entire conversation. I could read it out loud.
I mean, what else are we going to be doing?
That's true. I have to look, though, so we're probably going to have to talk about other stuff while I look on my
phone. That's fine. While she's looking at that, I'm going to talk about how Brittany K. Taylor is that famous Cinderella falling down thing. Where she cracked her fucking skull open. We talked about this a little bit in our bloopers episode of Musicals with Cheese with me and Brie and Andrew. And my god, that looks like it really fucking hurt.
Oh my
god. They play it a bunch in this episode, and it looks like it's painful.
Oh yeah. Also, good news. I found it quicker than I thought.
Hell yeah. What do we got? What's the worst Tinder exchange?
Okay, so this is with a man named Brian.
Oh, that's a bad start.
And for context, I went to Ithaca College. And Ithaca College is in the same vicinity as Cornell University. They're like
that makes
a
sense.
Few miles away from each other. It's in the same city. Also, I was really mad because the mall had a Cornell store of Cornell merch. They didn't have any Ithaca College merch. It was bullshit. Ithaca College representation is important. But anyway, so going on Tinder is a horror story because you get Ithaca College students and Cornell frat bros. You get a mix of both, and it's really hard to gauge who's a frat bro and who's not. I did not gauge correctly this time. So here we go.
Let's go.
Here's how he starts. Trigger warning. Weirdly sexual.
Oh, okay. Let's do this.
Trigger warning. If you want to skip ahead a bit, feel free. Okay, here's the first thing he sent me. I want to have dominating anal sex with you, where I fulfill my fantasies and make you mine. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Question mark.
What'd you reply with?
I replied with a gif of Louis C.K. going, nope. This is back before he got canceled, for context. This is like 2016. So, and then here's what he replied with. So then a nice low-key blowjob that hits the back of your throat and gives you a satisfaction that you can just barely fit the whole thing in without gagging. And
let's
then
pause for a moment. Let's pause there. I don't think any woman has described a blowjob as satisfying. I don't think it's a thing that we do. It's not like, man, that was a satisfying boba tea I had there.
Yeah.
No.
I won't get into detail, but yes, can't confirm. It's not the most, no, it's never. It's never the most satisfying.
It's like a thing we have to do. It's like taking out the trash, you know? No one's going to describe that as a satisfying fucking experience.
So then I replied with a gif of Mark Christopher Lawrence from Pushing Daisies, one of the best shows of all time that got canceled too fast, going, oh, hell no. And then I did not screenshot. This did not get make the screenshot, but I remember it vividly. He then replied with, hold hands and cuddle?
You know what he got there?
Brian,
that reads like a punchline. It reads like a punchline.
This is a real experience I had. Yeah, so Brian got there in the end. Which is good for him. And then a few weeks later, I matched with my boyfriend and everything was fine.
What did he start with?
He said, you look cute. Do you do the TV station?
That's nice.
The local, like the university TV station. One of my photos was me at the master control board. So.
And then you were like, yes, thank you. And then yes. He replied, I want to have Donna sex with you.
No, we had a real conversation. Okay.
He started right, and then he went right into the dominating anal sex.
And that's why we're dating. No. No, we, like, talk
that
like...
That was what Brian did wrong.
No, we talk like people for a few hours, but he messaged me asking me for my number. But unfortunately for him, it was right before I went to class. It was like a minute before I had to go to class. So for an hour, he didn't think I wanted to exchange numbers. And I was in the front row of the class, so I couldn't even sneak it. I was just like, here's my number. So when I went to lunch, I'm like, oh, here's my number. Sorry, I was in class. So, and then he talked like a regular person to me for a week, and I was like, dude, what do you want from me? Do you just want to,
dominating anal sex.
Do you want to do that thing that Brian sent me? And he's like, and then he replied with, I just want to get to know you. And I was like, you're not a real fucking person. I need to meet you right fucking now. And
that's beautiful.
And turns out he was a real fucking person. And we're still dating. So, but I will cap this Tinder thing off with the best pickup line I've ever received that I did not reply to because I was in Pennsylvania at the time and I could not meet him. So,
okay.
Being British, there's another important Elizabeth in my life. So I hope you know you'll always be secondary to her.
That's hilarious.
Best Tinder message I've ever received, and I couldn't even respond.
Is that from Prince Charles?
Nah, his name was James.
Damn.
I wish it was Prince Charles. It'd be funny as fuck.
Like cheating on Camilla with another one.
There's a thrill in the Milo, thrill of Manila with Diane and Camilla, just saying. also, for all right, context, back... the day we're recording this is the day the Diana episode came out, so that's why it's on our minds.
Yes, Diana is always going to be on our minds forever and ever until we die.
Listen to the Diana episode.
Yeah, it's a good episode.
I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm sure it's amazing.
It might be one of my favorite review segments.
Hell yeah.
Because there was no critic reviews when we recorded it. So we went to good old Letterboxd, and
yes,
man, there's some fucking insane people on that website.
I'm on it, so I get it. So.
I love it. I love that that's what Previews has become.
Letterboxd.
A quiz of, well, I read the review, and they have to guess whether it's a positive or negative review. And I think
it's
probably my favorite
thing. It's really hard to gauge on Letterboxd.
Thing.
I've written reviews on Letterboxd that you can't even gauge whether they're positive or negative. I'm just like, burn it. It could be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about the Beauty and the Beast episode before we wrap this up. The MVP is obviously the young woman that's playing Belle. Like,
obviously.
She's really, really... The one there with, like, the real good talent. Like,
oh,
she could have been something if she didn't have a kid.
Yeah, that moment where Susan Egan, like, talks her through that song, it's, like, honestly, like, it made me emotional. It was like, okay, this is actually, like, really good.
This is why mentorship is very important.
Yes.
And another... I'm gonna go on a rant here. Mentorship is something I value very highly. It is something I do a lot in my life. And I see a lot of men take advantage of mentorship and use it as a way to take advantage of young people in both sexual and non-sexual ways, especially like the Alice Ripley situation and a lot of other things like that. And it makes me sick to my fucking stomach. And it makes me very weary about who I help and who I invite in for very similar reasons. And I don't know. It's seeing it there really made me emotional too, and made me think about like how important that is in my has been in my life, and how important it is in other people's lives, and how to tread that in the future to make sure that it stays as mentorship and not as the uncomfortable levels of Alice Ripley's nonsense.
Yes, 100%. Also, Alice Ripley, go away.
Please, please. Your voice wasn't even that good to begin with.
Yeah, no, I didn't even like Next Norm that much.
What? You don't like it? She wanted to fuck her son!
Oh no. I mean, her son was played by Aaron Tveit. Who wouldn't want to fuck him?
I'd fuck my son if he was Aaron Tveit.
Yeah, nope. My son was Aaron Tveit. Nope. I'd fuck him.
I was like, man, I made this. Good on me.
Yeah, good job, me. Good job, my genetics.
There's those weird TikToks where you see, like, the girlfriends. It was like, my ex-mother-in-law definitely wanted to fuck her son and was jealous that I got to. You've seen that one, right?
I don't go on TikTok enough. Last time I went on TikTok was to stalk Angeloid Weber, so.
But basically, she's like, yeah, my mother-in-law basically went up to me and said she was so jealous that you got to have sex with my son. And, like, it must have been great. And I'm like,
praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Fuck.
Okay.
And then made him break up with her because she thought he was replacing his mother with his new girlfriend in her life. And I'm like, there's like 900 red flags here.
Oh my God. That's terrible.
I don't know what it is about TikTok, but it's making me feel closer to the rest of the world, and the rest of the world is fucking insane.
The world is insane, and TikTok shows us that. I mean, I saw Angela Weber dance to WAP for 10 seconds, like, 2 days ago, and I'm just like, oh, this has changed my life.
Andrew Lloyd Webber is very, very in tune with what the kids are into, and I respect that.
He really is. His dog training TikToks are iconic, though.
He is a well-intentioned man who did a lot of bad things.
Yeah, also every dog training TikTok has hound dog behind it, and it's like, oh my God, Andrew Lloyd Webber, you're such an old man, but I love you. Do what you do. I respect you.
Do what you do. Yeah. But, you know, maybe be nicer to women.
Yeah, please just be nicer to women. Protect Sierra Boggess. We need to protect Sierra Boggess.
Sierra Boggess has nothing but nice things to say about him. So maybe it's just something that was a younger man's game for him. Where he's like, Patti LuPone, let's treat her like shit.
Don't treat Patti LuPone like shit. She'll kill you.
Basically.
Patti LuPone will murder you in your sleep if you say one, like, if you insult her.
There's a camera in the audience.
There's a camera in the audience. That camera operator's gonna die.
Stop taking pictures! Who do you think you are?
Patti LuPone has a steak knife in her costume like Michael Myers and is ready to fucking go.
The best part about COVID was Patti LuPone's weird videos that she occasionally uploaded of her just showing off her house.
Patti LuPone those videos on Twitter was a gift. Just like, well, she didn't post them on TikTok, she posted them on Twitter. Just like the most awkward place to upload videos. It's just like, thank you.
Hello,
Patti.
I'm Patti LuPone. This is my pinball machine. This is my bong.
And then Manny Patinkin also trying to just like post videos on Twitter. Just his
but
life.
That's connected because last year during the election, Mandy Patinkin released a song called Three People, where you have to go out and convince three people to go out and vote or register to vote. And a lot of people joined in, Stephen Colbert and all that, but Mandy Patinkin did it. And it was a song written by one Adam Wachter.
Yes, Adam Wachter. It's all connected.
It is.
I wish that was a song. I wish that song was a spinoff of Two Ladies, but, you know, that's fine that it actually was a good cause.
Yeah, Adam Wachter is probably one of the most underrated songwriters, and I feel bad that most people only know him from Encore, because his musical Terrytown is probably one of the best musicals I've ever listened to.
I'll check it out.
It's a good Halloween musical.
I've legit never heard of it till right now.
It's his modern interpretation of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. It's very good. Jeremy Jordan, Krista Rodriguez, and...
Ooh, that's a good cast.
Michael Arden's boyfriend that I can't remember the name of...
He doesn't have
a name. But it was direct... He does.
His name is Michael Arden's boyfriend.
Michael Arden directed the production. It's a very, very, very good musical.
Good to know. I am very behind in most musicals, so I need to make a list.
Yeah, I feel like I send you a lot of people. You should listen to this, Liz.
Yeah. I should probably just make a document at this point, because I'm losing track.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm just very behind. I don't listen to music that much due to my profession of choice. So everyone's like, have you listened to this album? Have you listened to this musical? And I'm like, no, I haven't. I only listened to Bad Cinderella because I had nothing better to do. And it was out and it was on Twitter and I wanted to see how bad it was.
It was a bad Cinderella.
It was a really bad Cinderella. And she just needs to go back on Tumblr and talk about how she eats chicken nuggets and farts.
Does she... Is that what... What's her name? Celia.
The Carrie Hope Fletcher?
That's her, yeah.
Yeah. No. It's the classic Tumblr I'm not like other girls thing where it's just like...
I eat chicken nuggets,
I fart, I don't go out to clubs, I don't drink wine, I drink beer, like, I don't dress girly, I wear t-shirts, I burp all the time.
She wears short shorts, I wear t-shirts, yes, she's that. Cheer captain, none, I'm on the bleachers.
Except you think you're better than everyone else because you fart and eat chicken nuggets, and everyone else like wears dresses and stuff and is a girl.
You know, that's like the least feminist bullshit I've ever heard.
Yeah, no, it's very unfeminist, and I went through a mild phase of it back in middle school. I'm very past it now. Feminism is weird, like, it's very nuanced discussion. All women are valid.
Yeah.
All women, trans women included, except for TERFs. TERFs can go.
Yeah, TERFs can die.
TERFs can go fuck off. Like, all trans women are women. Like, I will die in that fucking hill.
Yeah, I agree.
No, it's like the class. Oh, she wears a flannel in that musical.
I mean, she looks just like you, right?
Yeah, but.
She's got a flannel on.
No, she's wearing a green flannel.
Oh.
No, also, she's wearing a black dress, so she's, like, all, like, period accurate and shit, even though she's wearing a flannel. Wait, that musical's very bad, but I'm just very behind on musicals in general. Like, I was looking through all the episodes of Encore for the rest of it, and I don't know any of the songs from about 8 of them, so I gotta do some research. What?
You've listened to Oklahoma. You've listened to Sound of Music.
I listened to Oklahoma. I've listened to Sound of Music. I don't know. I've never heard a single song from Ragtime. I only heard that one song from Annie Get Your Gun that everyone knows.
Everyone, you can do all I can do better.
That one is parodied by everyone and their uncle on YouTube. So, like, I know that one. Oh, fuck, what else? Guys and Dolls? Don't even know it.
That's fair.
I do not know classic musicals.
Well, you should get your education this month.
Yes, I'm going to be very educated. Also, I'll be doing research offline, so...
Yeah, no Andrew Lloyd Webber pieces here.
Very weird. I guess a high school couldn't really do Phantom.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done Superstar, but they have Godspell in here.
Yeah. Oh, they do have Godspell. I don't know anything from that either. It's another one.
It's a good musical. And if I remember, that was like the best one. That was the best production.
Yeah. No, I know the Godspell poster.
But no, they did. That was an all black production. So they really leaned into that aspect of it. And it therefore, black people are just innately better than white people at most things. In general, so they can like actually sing and dance without like the weird white people like out of tune. Like, they sound good. They got their shit together.
Let's face it. Most white people don't have rhythm.
They don't.
We don't have rhythm. We can't fucking dance. Unless we went to like dance classes and learned rhythm, but I don't have rhythm. I can do the Cotton Eye Joe, but like everyone can.
I can do a box step.
I can't do that. I did stage crew. I didn't learn to dance. I learned to make a side of a building. The frame of side of a building.
That's fair. What is your overall thoughts on this episode and your cheese rating, Liz?
It's good. It's a little bit producer-y.
Yeah.
Like, I felt producer breathing. I didn't hate it. I think Brittany's great.
She's fun.
Brittany's a lot of fun. She's a little villainy, but I think at the end she gets a little bit of a redemption arc where she's just like, you're doing so good to the Jacob Lang Bell. And, I don't know. That was also forced, but like at least she had it for your layman watching, not us who over intellectualize. Basically,
we all over intellectualize and ruin everything.
Our brains are turned on to overthink everything we watch, even if it's just for fun. So
yeah,
it's great. It's great. I don't know. It's solid. I think the first one's a little better. It felt more organic.
Yeah,
but I think this one is fine. Like, I don't it, like it's a good watch if you want to watch the whole shit. You should watch the whole series.
Yeah.
I haven't finished it yet, so maybe I'll take back those words, but you know.
It's a fun watch. I think it was much more fun to watch weekly as like a thing, like, oh, this is how I'm going to end my week. Oh, that was charming. Yeah. As opposed to like
binging it.
Yeah. Or... It's not a bingeable show.
No, it's a little schmaltzy. It's a little schmaltzy at times, which it's very Disney to say that. It's very Disney.
Yeah. I hope they do a season two. I really do.
I hope so
but
too.
COVID kind of put a wrench into original plans. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. We'll see if they can work something out. I mean, a lot of shows are coming back with COVID restrictions and everything, but you know, COVID fucks up a lot of stuff. It's hard to figure stuff out. COVID is hard on this on the production industry. It was really hard.
It really is.
Like on my profession, it's really not that bad because I just sit in a room and I'm by myself. So
yeah,
no one really cares.
I mean, fuck, production in general is just rough with their striking and near murders and that. Fuck me.
Oh god, the Russ situation. Oh god. Heartbreaking.
Yeah, and a lot of my friends worked with her, and she was very, very good. Like, it's like one of the few situations where it's like, I'm good at like hearing jokes that even I don't find funny, but I'm like, it's a joke. Hearing jokes about that situation really, really, it offends me to my soul.
Agreed. You should not joke about that. A woman died. Like, a young woman her career was just starting. Like,
she was so good, though. Yeah. She was so fucking good.
I only heard good things about her from people that work with her online. It was just, like, heartbreaking.
But her actual work is incredible,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I gotta check. I haven't actually looked into it, but I'm gonna look in. I'm gonna watch some of it. It's like, do my research.
The guy that gaffed Luchica, the opera film I made 2 years ago, also gaffed her a film with her in Kalamazoo last year.
Oh, nice.
So he was telling me all about his experience there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really fucking sad.
Really sad. But okay, so my cheese rating, I'm going to give it those mozzarella sticks that you take shreds out of.
Yeah.
Like that you ate when you were a kid.
The like strippy ones.
Yeah, the string cheese. It's string cheese. That's what it's
it.
Called.
I was looking for string. I got with strippy ones.
Yeah, no, string cheese. Yeah, I'm going to give it string cheese.
And I'm going to give it Swiss cheese. Because, you know, I love Swiss cheese. Just want more of it. I wish there weren't those holes in it.
Yeah, too many holes.
Ah, that was clever. All right, that's all for this week on Patreon with Cheese. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Being able to be in this show will be one of the greatest treasures of my life.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat, and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.